Our text is lifted from Joshua 24, verse 15 in particular. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A couple of points by way of introduction. It is well to keep in mind that Joshua has come to the end of his life, his journey, and he knows it. Might as soon die, says this day, but he means at this time, not necessarily that day or the morrow, but in the next few weeks and months, the time of his departure was nigh. And I use the word departure purposely, beloved. That's not a euphemism. He was going to die, but he was going to depart. The old Negro spirituals had a way of putting it, you know, getting on the glory train. And I think that's a useful figure because it has in mind a destination. Departure isn't simply leaving, I'm going to be gone. That I'm going someplace. I have a destination, a departure from here to another place. You know, Simeon of old, now let us thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen the Lord's salvation. I'm ready to go. But what's significant, of course, is that when a man knows the time of his departure is near and he faces death, especially a saint, what they have to say are usually words of eternal verity. Suddenly, the trivial pursuits of this life fade into a nothingness. And now they have words of significance to speak, and you better be listening as they consider the time of their own death and departure. And the great concern of a dying believer is what? Number one, beloved, where one stands with God. What is my standing with God? Put it this way, I suppose, am I on good terms with God? That is, how does he view me? But the dying of a saint, especially of a father or a mother, isn't simply where I stand with God. They have another concern too, don't they? And that concern is this, and where do you, my children, stand? They're also concerned of the standing of their children, their loved ones. How is it with you? Are you at peace with God? And right with God, I suppose, is the best term, huh? And that's what Joshua is bringing home. I'm ready to depart and meet this great Jehovah, Israel, with all those images and idols in your homes. Are you? I think not. It's about time to have a house cleansing, he says. Listen to me. As for me and my house, we will, and we serve the Lord. But expressions of that concern. In the second place, I point your attention to the fact that he calls them, these representatives of the nations, to Shechem. Calls the tribe of Israel to Shechem in verse 1. And then the last verse that we read concludes verse 25, an ordinance in Shechem. And the thing about Shechem, beloved, is, I suppose, any number of things, but two things. First of all, for our purposes. Number one, Shechem was in a plain between two mountains or hillsides, Ebal and Gerizim, and it was from those hillsides that as Moses read the law with its blessings and cursings, that Israel responded. And you know what they were doing, really? They were taking upon themselves baptismal vows. That's exactly what's going on here. What are you going to say here? Are you going to serve the Lord God? This is your calling. And they say yes, but they're taking baptismal vows, vows of circumcision, if you want, back then. But this is what we promise to do. And the Lord, and Joshua says, and remember, the Lord is going to hold you to that now as well. He's heard you. Don't think he's deaf. Now you better live this way. But the renewal of a baptism vow is going on here at Shechem. But there's more than that. One more point in connection with Shechem. It was here, beloved, that the patriarch Jacob buried under a tree the images and idols that were in his home and family when he returned from Haran. Genesis 35, where after Rachel has died, and remember she brought with her these household images and so on, Jacob said to his household, verse 2, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go to Bethel, and I'll make there an altar unto God. And be a confession, you see, and calling on God now to remember them. And he hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. And now Joshua, the same place, is calling these descendants of Jacob to do likewise. Cleanse your homes of these idols and these images you have, and I know you have them. Don't think I'm ignorant of that fact. And put them down and consecrate yourself unto the Lord God and Him alone. He's putting before them, which Jacob are you going to follow? Old, weak, lax Jacob, who allowed this to go on too long? Or the Jacob who wrestled with the angel and said, I will not let thee go, Jehovah God, tell you, bless me. The Jacob of faith and resolution, and then did a house cleaning. Is that Jacob? Joshua said, let you be of that Israel, God's Israel, and not old Jacob with his weakness and his laxity and deceitfulness. As for me and my house, I know where we stand. Do you? And just one more thing. Remember, Joshua, you know, is of Joseph. He's of Ephraim, you know, the son of Joseph. And in many ways, it's old Joseph's spirit speaking here through Joshua. This Joshua himself is the evidence of a covenant faithfulness of God working in the line of Jacob, Joseph, Ephraim, and now to Joshua and his home as well. With that in mind, as for me and my house, an antithetical choice, a covenantal commitment, and expressing faith and confidence in Jehovah, the God of the covenant. Antithetical choice, antithetical covenantal commitment, and expressing faith in his Jehovah. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. That's a most important exhortation, of course, and it requires a most decisive choice or choosing, a more important one of lasting significance, whether it be of everlasting consequences or of enduring fruit and reward, one cannot make. Joshua here is really calling for a repentance on the part of Israel, and then calling these representatives of Israel to make their choice. Whom, with the whole of their heart, they and their houses and tribes intend to serve. And then he informs them, of course, Joshua does, of what choice I have made for me and my house. We are going to serve the Lord. It's an exhortation, beloved, that comes very close to words you find in the gospel record, in the opening words of the gospel record in Mark chapter 1, which was the first gospel written. Matthias, Matthew, was put before it because, of course, he begins with genealogy, and those who ordered the canon decided they would put first place that gospel because it tied in with the genealogies to the Old Testament. But there's little doubt that Mark was written first, and Mark just launches right into the gospel ministry of Christ Jesus, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, written by the prophet. And then in verse 4 of that chapter, he speaks of John the Baptist baptizing in the wilderness, preaching baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That was John the Baptist. And what he was doing, of course, was calling Israel to choose you this day whom you intend to serve. Because they also had their idols in John the Baptist's day, didn't they? It wasn't idols of silver and gold. It was idols which were silver and gold. Silver and gold, the shekels between their fingers, were pretty much their idols. What far too many of them lived for, idols of that sort. And he came, John the Baptist, calling this nation to the way of repentance, and then choose you this day whom you indeed intend to serve. And of course, repentance has everything to do, beloved, with hearing the Word of God, the gospel preached with its exhortations, admonitions, and its promises, and then the calling to choosing who one intends to serve. And in the end, of course, the exhortation, and don't be so foolish as to persist in the pursuit of these follies of yours, the gods of silver and of gold and of stocks and of bonds, but give your heart and your feet to the ways of Jehovah God. Choose you this day. That was John the Baptist. And really, beloved, that was Christ Jesus himself, because in that same chapter of Mark, chapter 1, you read in verse 14, after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this is what Christ Jesus said: the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. That's exhortation, that's command. And notice, beloved, he says the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the land of Canaan in reality. But Joshua was standing in, was a picture of this kingdom that Christ came preaching. And it's Christ who said to the nation, it's time for you to choose this day. Earthly kingdom, that's what you got in mind, just earthly kingdom and reputation, and can't give it up. Or the reality with its ways. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Choose you this day. And that was Joshua back in his day as well. It's all about choice, beloved. Repentance. Resolution of heart. It's all about saying no to the ways of sin and of our flesh with its carnal appetites. We're going to hear more of that this evening. But no to that. And then yes, of course, to the ways and service of Jehovah God. That's biblical. That's Calvinistic. That's Reformed. Some want to deny that. They want to say that Calvinism, the Reformed faith, has ruled off this whole matter of choice and really turned men into stocks and blocks when all is said and done, a bunch of puppets, because it's all about sovereignty and what God does and God's determination and God's choice. And if you're chosen by God, well, then, of course, you're just automatically going to be simply imposed upon, and willy-nilly, you will have to make that choice as well. And so man is really loses the whole of his ability and really calling to make any choice in any significant manner. The love nothing could be further from the truth with respect to that which is Calvinistic and Reformed. It's true. It is true that which is Reformed and biblical does deny the freedom of the will of fallen, unbelieving man. And denies that fallen, unbelieving man of himself is simply going to make a choice for God and the ways of God, and a choice in the way of forsaking of my sin and myself. No man of self will make that choice. But that doesn't mean men don't choose. And that doesn't mean that they are not to choose what is right and good. Whether they are able to or not, they are called to make the right choice. And when they fail to do that, they bring upon themselves and ourselves even a condemnation. We are a choosing people. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We don't deny the love that men make their choice, nor do we deny, and neither does the Scriptures especially, but the Reformed faith deny, that there are those who do make the right and proper choice. Men do make the right and proper choice, beloved. I hope everyone here, sitting here this morning, has made and is in the process of making the right and proper choices. Only we well understand we do not do that of ourselves on our own. But that if we have made the right and proper choice, it is because there is a work of grace. That's what we teach. No one will make the right and proper choice apart from grace and from the operations of the Holy Spirit. But where grace works, covenantal grace, then the proper choice will be made. Joshua, beloved, is telling them, and I've made my choice, and my choice is to serve God. He made the right choice. He's not saying I did it all by myself, and so I'm superior to you. But he did make the choice. My choice for myself and my house is we will serve the Lord. It was a choice he had made, was making, and would continue to make. And it's a choice that he himself made under the word and the call of the word, as he heard it from that old prophet Moses and from the law and the gospel back then. Choose you this day, knowing full well, beloved, that there are those to whom the gospel comes, God be thanked, whose hearts he opens, whose heart the Lord opens as the gospel comes. Lydia, huh? Acts 16. And she believed, and she was saved with her house. And then the Philippian jailer as well, having heard the gospel, first having rejected it, but then having received the grace and the Spirit in the way of a great earthquake to validate the words of an apostle, said, what must I do? Believe, make the right choice by faith. Repent of your sins, and thou shalt be saved and his house. And he too was baptized, he and all his. Men do choose. And there are those who make the wrong choice, and there are those who make the right choice. But those who make the right choice, beloved, don't say, and I have done it of my own free will. The one who makes the right choice says it's by grace and grace alone. Thanks be to God in His mercy who worked in my heart and opened my eyes. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And of course it has to do with to whom you're going to submit your life, to whose words you're going to submit your life, and in whose worship you're going to engage with the whole of your heart. Because Joshua's going on to say, of course, that it's either or. It's either you go in the way of these idols and these images that I know are still in your homes and haven't been cleansed from your homes, or it's the service of Jehovah God. It's not both and, because of course that's what Israel wanted. They wanted this business of both and. We want God, of course, to some extent, and the worship of God, and some of the protection of God when we need the protection of God, but we don't want to give everything up of the world, you know, and of our interests and our desires. So we also want these images and these idols because that's much more tolerant. Makes many more allowances for how we would like to live, what appeals to our flesh. So can't we have both? Almost comes down to as little of God as we can possibly get by with, and as much of the world, and we'll try to figure it out, both and. And Joshua says, away with such nonsense. Your half-baked religion, your hybrid, almost say, mongrel religion, it's either or. And if you try to do both and, a little bit of God and what God requires, and then not to give too much of the up of the world as well, you've made your choice. And it's not for God. It's for the ways of your flesh and the images and the idols and a half-baked religion that is unpalatable to Jehovah God. It is with Him either or. That's why He says in the passage that He is a holy God and a jealous God. He has said, you know, verse 16, they answered after He said, me and my house will serve the Lord. People said, oh, we're going to serve the Lord. God forbid we should forsake the Lord. And then He says to them, ye cannot serve the Lord. He doesn't mean it's impossible for any man to serve the Lord. He himself served the Lord. By grace it was possible to serve the Lord. But He says to them, ye cannot serve the Lord. Not on your own. Don't think you can do it on your own. And not while those idols are still in your houses and homes and you're filled with this superstitious nonsense. And its toleration and their allowances. God is a holy God and a jealous God, and He requires a single-hearted devotion and worship and service. And if you're not ready to give Him that, you will not serve Him. He will not count it as service. You cannot, while those idols are still in your houses, serve the Lord. And then they assure Joshua, oh, we mean it this time. Then he says, okay, the Lord has heard you. I've heard you. Now we're going to do a house cleaning, and now you serve the Lord with the whole of your heart. It's either or, not both and. If it seem evil unto you. You understand, he's not giving Joshua's not giving to the people an option here, as it were. It's an option. Choose which one of these gods you want to serve, Jehovah God or the idol God. He's making very plain here what their great calling is, and their great calling is to serve Jehovah God and Him only, and to put these other gods away. But if it seems evil to you, to serve Jah over God, then you better choose one of the other gods. And what he's saying, of course, is it really makes no difference which of those other gods you serve. They're all the same. Vanity, emptiness, and powerless to give you help in time of need, I'll tell you that. But he can't reprobate strongly enough this whole matter of these idol gods, beloved. And that's why he says, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, there's a, if not a sarcasm in those words, there is a bite to those words. Don't forget how he has preceded those words, or I should say, the words of the Lord that have preceded these words. Now, the Lord spoke through Moses, but he spoke in the name of the Lord and says, I, God spake through Joshua, and Joshua in the name of God said all these things. Remember the preface and the context? Joshua has laid out, God has reminded Israel of His mighty works, of His goodness to them and their forebears, deliverance time and time again, and the destruction of their enemies, Pharaoh, and setting them free, and now giving them the very land itself as he had promised their fathers. And it was his power that gave them the victory, driving by the hornet those from before their face. And Joshua says, now, in that context, considering the Lord's goodness and His grace beyond reckoning with your forebearers, if it still seems evil to you to serve the Lord, well, you better choose one of those other idols. There's a bite to those words. If it's evil, harsh, too demanding, too great a price, well, if you still want to turn from Him, then you better choose one of those other gods. Take your pick, because they're all the same. But what Joshua is saying to them, and if you do that, let me make plain what's true of you. You are the blindest of fools. As for me and my house, in the light of our knowledge of what God has done for His Israel, we will serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you, if you think too much is required, and the Lord is too harsh and demanding, then you better go the other way. But they wanted both and. That's always the temptation, beloved. Both and. Not either or, both and. It starts on the Lord's day. For us, the first day of the week. For them, the end of the week, but it starts on the Lord's Sabbath. Either or. Or does it seem evil to you to give the whole day to the Lord? Because after all, consider what you might have to give up, you know. March Madness, you know. Might have to give up some March Madness for a whole day dedicated to the Lord. Or watching professional sports through the rest of the year. Or business opportunities. You know, you might have to give them up for the sake of the Lord. Or a job reference that requires that you will have to work some Lord's days. Or some nice summer days, you know. We don't have them, but those many nice summer days in Michigan. And it comes on the Lord's day, and there's the beach, and there's the boats, and there's the golf course, and now we're going to have to give up that for a dozen Lord's days? Can't we just a dozen Lord's days, forget it maybe once, and then do what we want the rest of the week, the rest of the day? Does it seem evil to you, for the sake of this Lord, to dedicate your whole day to the Lord, His service, worship, and learning of His Word? Well, if it seems evil to you to do that, then you better choose the other way. But know you this, it's not the way of God's approval, it's the way of His displeasure. You know, Israel says, both and. We can live with that. Either or is too demanding. Both and, we can live with that. It's not the question, beloved, whether you and I can live with that both and. The question is, can Jehovah God live with that? both and. Joshua reminds them, he reminds us, he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He requires wholehearted devotion, singularity of consecration, not divided worship and service. But if you are intent on going that way and will not give them up, these ways up with your follies, then understand the Lord will visit you, but not in approval, but as time goes on with greater and greater judgments as time goes on. Choose you this day, either the Lord God with all your heart and the whole of your life, from the first day of the week through the six that follow, or these follies and these vanities and these idols. But then be prepared, he says, for unhappiness not only, but judgments and wrath. That's all I can offer you if that's the way you choose. So which is it? Choose you this day. In contrast, beloved, to that spirit that Joshua knows characterizes far too many of the nation, he says to them, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I remind you, service has to do with the whole of one's life. You submit yourself to the Lord as to a king, and then his word governs marriage, of course, and family, and business, and even recreation, what we do and win, the whole of our life under the rule of this king, and seeking his approval. And, beloved, it means we stand for the gospel that says there is salvation in one name under heaven and one name only, the name of Christ Jesus, his Son. There is no other way. We will serve the Lord and proclaim him and his Son as the one only way of salvation without compromise. And he speaks here, of course, of Jehovah, the Lord, the covenant-making, the covenant-keeping God. And remember, beloved, whenever you speak of God's covenant, you speak of two things. Grace, that is given to us contrary to all our deserving, and love, the love of God. One, beloved, who bears with us and is patient with us beyond all telling. And now, to serve him, this God in his grace and his love, who will count a people such as us as his own children and his inheritance. But notice now, in addition to that, that when Joshua says, me and my house, we will serve the Lord, what he is essentially doing is telling Israel, and if it comes right down to it, I and mine are willing to stand alone. You choose this day which of those idols of yours you intend to serve, but I'll tell you whom I am going to serve with my house. We are going to serve the Lord. And if that means that you intend to go the way of your idols and so on, then we are going to have to go our separate ways. I do not intend to go with you, whether you want to consider me a friend or not. For the sake of Jehovah and his ways, I and mine will stand alone. That's what he is essentially saying here. This is my choice. I want you to know that. And we are committed to that with the whole of our hearts. That's quite a resolution, beloved. That's quite a statement. And that takes grace, to be willing to stand alone for the name of God and his truth and his ways. That requires the courage of faith, and it requires the ability given by grace. to testify of this God, whatever direction the others go, even though they were once your friends. For a young person to sit in a college, a Christian college, perhaps, and to willingly say, yes, I believe in six-day creation, and then have everyone's head turn and say, you believe in what? Six-day creation? You're a creationist yet these days? I suppose that means you take the whole Bible literally? Even a fish swallowing a man? Not a myth, but real history? Yeah, even that. I take God at His word and His word as truth. Even things like that from the beginning to the end. And you know what else I believe? This you may find even more astonishing. I actually believe that a virgin was used by God to conceive and bear a son, a virgin. Can you believe that? And this is what I also believe, that He arose from the dead, the resurrection and the life. Now you talk about a wonder, beloved. Compared to that, a fish swallowing a man is small potatoes. Even that, do you? But the willingness, beloved, for the sake of this God and His Word, amongst all the others who would call themselves even Christians, to stand alone. But that was Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord regardless of the ways you, who are my acquaintances, friends, and really my own flesh, decide to go. God, beloved, give us that grace and the willingness to count that cost if it comes to that. But that, first of all, is implied in the statement of Joshua. No matter what direction you go, the rest of the nation, here is where I and mine stand, and we will do no other. But it's also significant, beloved, the approach that Joshua takes in this address to the representatives of the nation. He doesn't simply come with the laying down of the law and simply imposing that law on them and simply saying, look, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and I'm your leader, and you and your house also will be serving the Lord, or you will answer to me and the soldiers, and if you don't comply, it will be off with your heads. I suppose from a certain point of view, Joshua had that right, power, and authority. But that's not the approach that Joshua takes here. Simply the imposing of law upon the rest of Israel and saying, this is going to be a forced religion and you will serve the Lord. Because he knew the Lord wasn't interested in that kind of service. Simply an imposed way of doing things outwardly. And so they rid themselves of their idols under the point of the sword. And then what happens when Joshua's gone and the others turn their backs? There they are again. Because their hearts are not following the Lord. So Joshua doesn't simply take the approach here, and you will do so also, or it's off with your heads. That's not how we raise our children, do we? Not the approach we take. This is the law. I impose it on this home, and this is what we will do regardless. And if you don't, there's simply threats, and I will whack you. That may work for a while, beloved, as long as you're bigger than they are. And then there comes a point where they're as big as you and bigger, and they may decide to whack you back. And you haven't affected the heart at all, have you? There is room for discipline, no doubt about it. As for me and my house, this is how we will serve the Lord. But it's with positive instruction. Don't forget the preface of these words, beloved. Before Joshua says, choose you this day, and before he says, as for me and my house, he's told them this history. He reminded them of Abraham, God's promises to Abraham, God's goodness to Abraham, and the seed of Abraham, and his faithfulness, and the deliverance of Israel. All that history, gracious deliverance, contrary to all they deserve. This is Jehovah God. And in light of this Jehovah God, I will serve the Lord, me and mine. And so should you. Out of gratitude, don't you understand? Not simply law imposed, but gratitude. And then the life flowing out of this knowledge of who God is and what He has done for us, and especially beloved through Christ Jesus, His Son, crucified and risen from the dead, that He should have given the Son of His bosom for the likes of us, the greater Joshua, Jesus Christ. In the knowledge of that, what is this but our reasonable service? Take my heart, take my hands, take my lips, and let them be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. That kind of approach, beloved, and with that kind of fruit. And so, this positive approach of instructions in the ways of sin and grace, we instruct our children that way. And then, of course, we deliver them over to the hands of teachers in our Christian schools who have the same perspective and will tell them the same history so that our children understand the greatness of this God and His power, but also the marvel of His grace and love, and then realize this alone is the God who was able to save. What is this but our reasonable service in light of who He is and what we need? And so, as for me and my house, in the light of what God hath done for us and His promises, we will serve the Lord. That brings us to the last point, that there is here an evidence, beloved, of Joshua's great confidence in Jehovah God. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's going to die in a little while, weeks or months. How does he know? And his house is going to serve the Lord. But he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not only we're doing it right now, but we will. Because he has confidence, beloved, in God's promises. When he says, me and my house, he's certainly speaking by way of authority. This is what I'm going to require of my home, this service. You know what that is, this service? The fear of the Lord. You know what the fear of the Lord is? A man does not run his home according to what men think. What governs his home is not what men think and society thinks and whether they approve or not. I don't dread the assessment of men. That's not what gives me fear. I don't seek their approval, the approval of men. What rules here is the fear of God. I fear His disapproval because I desire His approval. And that's how this home is going to be governed in the whole of it. Does it have the approval of God? If not, out it goes. If it does, it stays. And I will teach my children this way as well. But he's 110. He's going to pass the scene. But he still says, my house will serve the Lord. Because he knows, beloved, his children and his children's children are committed to the same way that he was. Why? Because he knew that his instruction took root. And God was faithful to his promise and had given him spiritual seed. Because, of course, he was powerless himself to change the hearts of his children. Without God's grace, covenantal grace working, he could have instructed them till the cows come home. And he himself might have served the Lord. But how would he know his children and children's children were going to? But this is Jehovah. And his word is, where we are faithful in instruction, he will recompense that. He will reward that in his grace. And you will see it in your children and your children's children. We saw it this morning, beloved. We saw it this morning. Another generation, representative of another generation, standing up with children and children's children and saying, we will follow this doctrine and confess it and this word, and when our children come to years of the discretion, continue, instruct them in these ways. That's the proof, beloved, the evidence of God's own faithfulness, the working of His grace. Because we earn it? Because we deserve it? No, simply because He's Jehovah God, and having made a promise, keeps His promise, and we are the benefactors. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. What God thinks rules here, and we make this testimony before all the world without fear, because Jehovah is the faithful God, and in Him we will have the victory. Amen. For Thy word we give Thee thanks, for Thy promises, for Thy faithfulness, and for evidences of it in our children and our children's children. Father, keep us faithful and remind us of what a great and glorious God Thou art, the revelation of Thyself through Jesus Christ, the Son of Thy love, and the Savior of our souls, till Jesus comes again. Amen.